I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Have you ever spotted McDonald's hot, crispy fries right as they're being scooped into the carton? And time just stands still. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
What's up, buds?
Sending it back in along the left-hand side. 7:40 to go. Puck in front. Connolly with a chance. They score! They score! The puck on a rebound for Lars Eller. Eller gets the rebound and puts it home. And Washington leads it. 4-3 with 7:37 to go. The Tiger pouncing at the moment that he can potentially be the hero.
Welcome back to J First Rank Radio. I'm your host, Greg Young. And today, I figured to have someone preview the regular season from J First Rank, we needed someone who frankly knows, I think, more about the Caps, like, 14th forward than I would know about Alex Ovechkin. And I thinking of that in mind and thinking of someone who I think has more opinions about the seventh defenseman battle for the Washington Capitals than I have about my wife or most of my family is Luke Adamanis. So, Luke, how are you doing today?
Good, good. Thank you for having me on. I'm excited to talk about the eighth defenseman.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I guess that's true. All right. Well, Luke, I will ask you about that. But I think first, let's talk about we now know as of yesterday who the Capitals roster is. You know, we know who made the team and who largely did not. So the big kind of question marks were your seventh defenseman, which it seems like is going to be Matt Irwin, and the rookies who made the team, of which we have McMichael, Protas, and Snively. So I guess I'm going to start broad and then we'll kind of hone in a little as we go. But just overall thoughts on kind of the roster and some of the decisions that head coach Peter Laviolette made here?
Yeah, it's funny because I'm kind of torn because I really wanted Johansson to make the team because I thought he had a really strong preseason. And I'm always an upside guy.
Lucas Johansson, right?
Yeah, Lucas Johansson. Yeah, yes. I forget now. Marcus, he used to go by Johansson. Now he wants Johansson. I forget how it
goes.
I really wanted Lucas Johansson to make the team because I thought he had a strong preseason, and I'm a upside kind of guy. I like, you know, you don't know what their floor could be low, but I like their upside. So I think he can bring more to the table than Irwin could have as that number seven. But, you know, he loves his guy. Laviolette loves Irwin, so he got it. But it's funny because I don't mind Johansson coming up here and sitting and kind of working his way in. But on the flip side, there's Protas, who I absolutely love. But I think he's right now slotted for – we don't know the exact lineup, but I think he was on the fourth line for the last preseason game. And I would rather have someone like him
down
in Hershey.
Which is what Samantha Kettle, of course, last podcast said he was going to do.
Yeah, exactly. And I would rather have him and Hershey playing first line minutes with, you know, lots of minutes, power play, penalty kill. I'd rather have, you know, that guy, Protas, doing that and then just putting Sheary or someone else on the fourth line that – you know who they are, and that's okay, and they can do that. I mean, I'd rather have – actually, Johnson Fialbi be that person because you know who he is. He's a fourth line guy, so I don't mind him playing fourth line. I don't want good young players getting no minutes or rather than get bigger minutes. But so I'm kind of torn back and forth on who they kept and who they didn't keep.
Yeah. All right. Well, and I mean, obviously, we can kind of dive into Protas here a little bit. Like, I have a later note of asking you if anything of note in the preseason. But I think one thing that it did seem like there was noteworthy was Alexi Protas's play during the preseason. I will come out and say I have not watched a minute of Capitals preseason hockey. I've learned from experience that, you know, it's very, very different hockey when it comes to the
regular 100%.
Season. But like, I mean, Protas seemed like a noteworthy person. So I guess you watch a lot of hockey and you watch a lot of prospect development. So take me in, like, what you noticed about Protas's game and kind of what you think caught the Caps' eye about how he developed.
Yeah. So if you ever read any of my prospect update or rankings, I consistently have Protas up there. I think I had him ranked as the second highest floor prospect. Like, that's above Lapierre, McMichael. I think the ceiling for him is super high because he's such a unique player. He's 6'6", 230, but he has amazing vision, amazing hands. But his best aspect is his brain, and I think that's what they liked about him so much, is he's just so smart. He knows where to be, and that's what it saves on skating. He's not the best skater, he definitely improved, but he's just smart. He knows exactly where the puck is going to be. And so he has that long stick and he's strong. So he is consistently stealing pucks along the boards or on the back check. And he just works his butt off. So I think that's Laviolette just love that because he's so versatile. You can put him in any position, center wing, on penalty kill, power play. And I think that's, and he's cheap, you know, because he's on that prospect deal. So I think that's what Laviolette kept him for six games because he was so interesting to have every game.
Yeah, and it seems like they put him in a lot of different places, right? Which is interesting to me because, you know, I think that when you see with some players, you kind of say, all right, like, this is roughly where they're going to be, you know, and if they're moving him around the lineup, it's probably just because, like, that's where they need to be on any given night, you know, for the rest of the team. But it really did seem, at least from what I saw, that they were really trying Protas in a lot of different ways because you're right. He has like a unique skill set that I think is kind of hard to singularly place. Right. Mm. So I think it was interesting to me, at least, that they kind of kept moving him around the lineup and try him kind of in different roles. No.
Yeah, 100%. And that's what I think they're finding out is, OK, can we trust him with Dowd out there to do defensive stuff? Can we trust him to throw him up there with Ovechkin and Kuznetsov to be that forechecking guy, but enough skill to, you know, make it worth wild out there? You know, it's not like throwing Beagle out there or anything. So I think that's what they're trying to figure out. And they kept finding out, like, holy crap, we can use this guy everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then the other kind of two pieces of note, let's do Snively real quick. But do we kind of agree 13, 14 forward, or is there something I'm missing here?
It's still, it'd be interesting to see how the season starts, but yeah, he'll probably be assuming, well, I mean, I'm sure we'll get to McMichael, but I imagine McMichael plays over him. So I think he will be that 13th forward. which is a shame because, you know, he's a guy with high skill. I'd rather have him kill it in Hershey, but you also risk losing him on waivers. So I think, but I think they definitely, if there's ever a spot open in top nine, if there's enough injuries, I think he'll get the first call because he's a fast, speedy, skilled kid, and he'll get the first crack at that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So like Protus, there was another player who was up and down the lineup in a lot of different ways, although I think a lot of people, including me, had some different thoughts on his usage, and that, of course, is Connor McMichael, who made the roster. So I know that there were some doubts at some point, but he did make it, and it seems like his game, at least from what I've been reading and what I've been hearing, got better through the preseason. So I guess, you know, I'm gonna ask a McMichael question, also my predictions part, which we'll talk about later. But I guess McMichael, like, what do you think their thoughts on him are at this point? And how do you kind of expect his usage, at least at the start of the season, to look like?
I think they've already talked about both Laviolette and McClellan. I think they both said that they prefer him at center, which is 100% correct. He's not like, I don't think he's adapted to the wing as much as Protus has. Mm-hmm. He's like, he puts, when he's on center, his last year when he was at center, he was amazing. I think his defensive and all forward impacts were big pluses.
Yes, they were.
But it's a shame because last year he kind of got, people were like, he's not consistent enough. But if you look at his line usage, not one line he played with was over 50 minutes. So he was consistently, and Protus played, I think, half the games, or like one third the games McMichael did, but his most used line was like 200 minutes. So he got really consistent time, but McMichael's like thrown all over wing, center with different people. So he never even got time to like really get consistent. But I think this year, I think they're going to let him do that a little bit more. I bet he starts in the top six to start the season. He starts in that left wing. But I would love to see him. I mean, there is no room currently, but it would be great to see him at a center, at a consistent position at center for a while. But, you know, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like, you know, I would imagine the team is going to probably be curious about Lars Eller's performance going in, because it would seem 100%. Like that 3C spot might make a lot of sense for Connor McMichael, you know. But obviously, Lars Eller is currently blocking him there.
Exactly, yeah. That's going to be a big... You know, and if Caps ever need the room, the space, they might not, because Backstrom and Hagelin could be out all season. But if there's the room, that's where they'll probably look to make a movement, because they're like, we have, you know, 10 centers, not that many, but we have a lot of centers that could play, and that might be the guy. So I think they're definitely, like you said, they're really going to be paying attention to Lars Eller and how he does.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So I, as I mentioned before, did not watch a second of preseason hockey and that was on purpose. I promise it wasn't me being lazy, because I've tended to find that they're not the most predictive. And
not at all.
Yes, the fact that the games were on at 1 a.m. for me doesn't help, but I will do that during the regular season. So
nice.
You know, it's you know, there's a little bit of a priority there. But I guess I'm going to ask you, because I know you watch more preseason hockey than I did. I mean, if you watched a minute, that would be more than I did. But I guess, was there anything of note in the preseason? And, you know, I know we've kind of talked about, like, you know, some of the big storylines, but I don't know, anything else that caught your eye? Anything of note, really, that I or other people might have missed?
I mean, like you said, preseason is like, I don't put any stock into it. The preseason, I just say, don't get hurt is my main thing. And then I look at the kids because it's fun seeing them, you know, adapt to playing against men. I think one thing that stood out, I'm sure it's not, is it isn't a small thing, but it, just the goaltending. It was like, it was just super nice to see.
I heard
them
that
just like,
too. Like, oh, this is what like, competent goaltending looks like.
Exactly. And it was just really refreshing to see. And I, you know, I'm a big goalie person, and I think everyone knows my love for Sammy and VTech, but you just got to say, like, man, it's just now that's something you don't have to worry about, which is really refreshing. And just watching Kemper and Lindgren, I think between the two, there's only one bad goal, and it was against Lindgren, but it was just a really nice shot. It was like a no angle shot. You want to see your goalie get it. But outside that, between all the games and periods they played, that was like the only thing I ever saw that I was like, eh. But so it's really nice to see just really reliant goaltending. I mean, again, it was just preseason, but still refreshing to see.
Absolutely. And I mean, as a goalie, you know, you, I think, can kind of appreciate too that I think the team plays differently when they trust goaltending, right? Because I think, I mean, yes, the Caps like played well last year. They were a 100-point team, right? You know, or near 100-point team, right? So like they, you know, they clearly something went right for the Capitals last year. But at the same time, their goaltending, I think it was just so inconsistent that it did seem like it affected them at times, right? You know, just in terms of like defensive structure and can you trust your goalie to not give up a bad rebound or bad goal, right? And so, you know, I think it's not just the save percentage going up, which it probably will, but it's also just, I think the downstream effects of that are pretty big, no?
No, 100%. That's a great point. Teams do play differently. They play more real. I bet you players would say they play better the more relaxed they are, the more comfortable they are. And if you have goalie back there, that's just like, you never, when someone's coming down the ice, you just never knew if that puck was going in or not. And now guys can be a little bit more like, okay, I know I can, you know, shadow this guy a little bit less to, you know, cover someone more important or vice versa. Knowing like, I know Kemper or Lindgren are, can shut down this shot from this distance kind of thing.
Even a situation, you know, where for instance, like someone shoots it from like a bad angle and maybe it's not a goal, but maybe it's just, they give up like a horrible rebound or something. Mm. Right. You know, and like, I would have, like, defensive structure wise, if you can trust that your goalie is not going to give up a horrible rebound, that also kind of impacts the play. Right.
Yeah, 100%. And it's to have that as a defenseman, I bet specifically, that's just very reliable. You know, your guy's going to be able to kick it out in a certain area. And, if you don't know, it's like, I have no idea where this puck is going to go. So I got to kind of like be on my toes. But if you can shade one side, be like, I know he can probably kick it over here, you can get the puck quicker and get the puck out faster. So,
yeah. Absolutely. All right. So I kind of also wanted to ask you, so I guess the note of the preseason is competent goaltending. And I think it was the line I used to Samantha Pell is professional goaltending, NHL like normal goaltending, I think is helpful for a team. But I also kind of wanted to ask you a little bit about the new parts for the Caps that, you know, because they had an off season that I think was interesting, you know, aside from, you know, the goaltending. I'm really curious, like, about kind of how you see Dylan Strome and Connor Brown fitting in, like, and I guess also Gustafsson. So how have you kind of noticed them, and like, how do you see their fit so far with the Caps?
I think they've been fantastic adds, and I think people forget that last year we didn't have a second line center at all. I mean, when you think about it, because Eller was up there while Backstrom was out, and when Backstrom came back, everyone knew he was not the same Backstrom. You can tell he was still really laboring on the hips. So I wouldn't even call him a second line center at that point. So this year you're getting Dylan Strome, who is at the very least a good second line center. And I didn't look at the point totals for the preseason, but I think he had the most points. And you can see he's very like, I want to, Tarek posted an article about, he like wants to get back at, not get back, but he wants to show Chicago you made a mistake. So he's very motivated right now.
Hyper motivated.
Yeah. And Brown is going to be a great hold for Wilson. No one can replace Wilson, but he's just, you can tell, he reminds me a lot of Justin Williams. He's just really smart and knows what to do. He's not very amazing at one thing, but he just kind of does everything really well. That's kind of like Wilson in a way. Again, he's not going to be Wilson, but he's also just added, and it's so fitting that the last preseason game in OT, those two hooked up on a goal to win it, to end the preseason. Mm-hmm. And it was a beautiful pass by Brown, and Strome finished it. So I think they're going to be fantastic adds.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think they fit in perfectly. I think with the roles that the Caps both need them to start with, you know, to replace, you know, Backstrom and Wilson in the lineup. But I think they also, even, you know, when Wilson is back and if Backstrom is back, I still think it seems like they add a lot to the roster of things that the Caps didn't really do, right? You know, I mean, you look at just, for instance, like penalty killing. The Caps penalty kill was fine last year. You know, you wouldn't say it was bad, but Connor Brown is just such a dynamo on that, you know, like that adds an element to it, you know, and Dylan Strome, I think just the kind of vision and a awareness he has and the fact that he can hold down the 2C throughout the year and just be reliable in that, you know, I think it's really valuable for the Caps, you know, and I think it's I think adds a degree of roster certainty that I don't think that they had at points last year, particularly, you know, even before Backstrom was back, you know, they just, it seems like they just, they have a lot more kind of tools in the toolbox to use.
Yeah, and when everyone gets back, I mean, to have, imagine like getting Wilson and maybe Backstrom back, that's, you got, then you have fantastic depth with Brown and Strome. And it's, another thing with Strome brings is he's, I think we were last in faceoffs, and faceoffs are overrated, but it'll be nice to have a guy, and Strome is very good at them. I think he's like 54% or something. It'll be nice to have someone out there that can, you know, especially in OT.
When you really need it, right?
Yeah, in OT, we kept losing faceoff, and then we would lose. I mean, that wasn't the only reason we lost, but it'll be very helpful to start out with a win.
Absolutely. All right, so I have Luke on the podcast, and one question I really want to ask Luke is the following, which is, Luke, talk about a capital that I've never heard of, but I should have heard of.
A cat, like in our system?
Yeah, well, like, I mean, like, they had a million people up in the preseason, right? So, like, yeah. I don't know, like, I heard, like, there's a defenseman who starts with I or something, like, Oreo or something, or whatever. You know, sorry, I know I should have more knowledge of workings of the Capitals roster, but this is why we have Luke on. So, Luke, tell me about a capital that I maybe haven't heard of, but probably should.
I mean, I think Vincent Iorio is a good one. He was super. You're close. he was incredibly impressive in preseason. The kid is 20 now at this point, 2021. And he's a big guy. I think he's 6'3 or something. And he was fitting in so well. He's one of those people, he's going to be an NHL player. It's just a matter of how far he can go. But I guarantee you, he's at the very least is going to be a bottom pairing defenseman, but the Caps, who are consistently up against the cap, it's good to have kids come in on no money contracts. But I think he has a higher ceiling. I think he could be a top four defenseman, but I would not be surprised at all if he's in the NHL full time next season, especially since I think both TVR and Jensen are UFAs, you know, so they're resigned. I think he'll be up with us, and he probably gets some games this season too. He's just super mature, and he knows how to play. He knows how to use his body. He's not going to wow you with anything. He's not going to, you know, dangle between the legs and snipe the top corner, but he's just very reliable in the defensive zone, makes amazing outlet passes, and he can help you in the offensive zone too. He's still going to be good there. It's just not his main thing. So yeah, I think that was I think that's a good name to talk about.
All right. Well, I'll call him Iorio and not Oreo.
There you go.
All right, I got that right. I'm gonna pat myself on the back. So, all right, Luke. We're now, I think, about like almost 20 minutes in, and we're gonna do some Caps predictions. Then we're gonna talk about the Metro a little bit and take a quick break. So, I have some Capitals predictions and a little bit of a glimpse behind the curtain here. I emailed or messaged Luke the agenda, but I deliberately excluded the Capitals prediction section because I want to kind of surprise and get his off-the-cuff takes. So I will give a prediction, or Luke will give a prediction, and then I'll chime in afterwards. So, and then we're going to kind of sharpen this a little as we go. So to start, Luke, who among the Capitals gets the most games at the second center position?
I'm gonna stick with Strome. I think he lands there and stays there.
I agree. I think it's Strome. I think he is a perfect fit. I do think it's gonna be interesting to see what happens with Connor McMichael. You know, I hinted at it before. I could see that 3C spot being a fit pretty quickly, but
yeah,
we will see about that. But I think I'm with you. It seems like Dylan Strome is the 2C, and I think he's going to do well in that job. All right. So the next question, Luke, how many goals does Alex Ovechkin score this year?
I think I saw a tweet from his name. I think it's Alan Capps. His name is Stat Guy Blake, I think.
Yeah, he's
fantastic.
Actually, I think I've reached out to him to be on the show before.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's fantastic.
Probably trying to make that happen this year, I think.
Yeah, definitely should. And he put out, he does his own numbers. I don't know what they are, but he has Ovi at 43. And I think that's a pretty safe bet. You got to imagine he's going to at least miss a handful of games. He's getting a year older, but he's also Ovechkin, so he can put up 60. Yeah. And, okay. But I want to be safe. I don't want to be like a homer, but he's going to hit 50. So I'll say 43. I think it's.
All right. Okay. I think actually a little more optimistic because I think he's going to play a lot. And I actually have Kuznetsov having a big season this year. So right. I am going to say I think Alex Ovechkin gets 47 goals. That's
okay. Okay. I hope. I hope.
It's a little short of 50. I will say, though, if he's at 47, you almost want to say he'll get 50, right?
Yeah.
Because it seems like he kind of has, like, the little afterburners to get 50.
Yeah, 100%.
You know? But I'm gonna go a little contrary here, and I'm going to say he gets 47 goals. All right.
Yeah, so I just want him to at least hit 40. That's what my goal is. Like, at least hit 40. That'd
agreed. Be nice. And when he needs 35, right, that's the number everyone's saying to through the contract. So, yeah. So, all right. 47, and you say 43, both which put him safely on track to still get Gretzky. All right, so, Luke, I'm going to give you three players. We're going to go through them one by one. How many games does Alexi Protas play this year?
That's a really good question. Oh, man. gosh darn. I don't know. It's how many did he play last year? Like 30 or something? I'm going to say...
That sounds right.
Yeah, sounds right. I'm going to say...
Let's find out. All right.
Yeah, take that in.
I will. All right. Well, this is great podcasting as I look this up. let's see. He played... Alexi Protas played last year 33 games. Very good, Luke.
Okay. Man, it's so tough because Caps have so many forwards. And then you got to imagine Wilson... comes back, maybe Hagelin. I'm going to go with 39.
All right. Disagree. All right, good. I'm always nervous about, like, hurting with these predictions, right? I'm going to say he plays 55 games.
Okay.
I'm optimistic. I see a old roster with a lot of forwards that are going to need rest and a lot of forwards that are likely to get hurt. I like what I've seen out of Protas too. I think he's really good. I think they could use him in a lot of different spots in the lineup. And also, frankly, I think if you have him in the lineup, you know, if you don't have him in the lineup, kind of what's the point of him being there, right? It's so I do think they're optimistic about him. I think he fits in well. I think particularly, I will say, and this might kill you a little inside, but if he finds his way on the fourth line and really meshes with Hathaway and Dowd, you could see Laviolette getting real comfortable with that, could you not? So that's kind of a little bit of also why I could see him hitting a little bit of a higher number.
Yeah, no, I could totally see that.
Perfect. All right, how many games does Snively play? We could do this one quickly.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be much. I'm going to say 16.
I'm going to go 10. All right. We're similar place. All right. A little bit of a more interesting one, and I think this is going to require us to look a little, you know, get a little guesswork here. How many games does TJ Oshie play?
it's 49.
All right. Yeah, I think we're in a similar spot here. I'm going to say, all right, now, I'm also going to look and see how many games TJ Oshie played and load the NHL.com.
I mean, yeah, he only played 44 last season.
I'm going to be a little more optimistic. I think COVID was weird. You know, I'm willing to say maybe he gets in a little more of a rhythm. Although I also will say I know that he was in a contact jersey. You know, I'm still nervous about the fact that he again looked like he was favoring his shoulder. But
yeah.
I'm going to be a little more optimistic. I'm going to say 55.
Okay.
So,
I hope.
There you go. All right. Yeah. So that was the guys I was curious about for how much they'll play. The next question, where do you think Connor McMichael ultimately ends up this year? Or does he end up in any consistent place?
Here's the thing. I think he's going to start on that second line, but when Backstrom comes back, you know Lav is not going to have him stay there. He's going to give their spots to Wilson, Mantha, and Brown. So I think he'll play mostly on the third line. third line.
All right.
Wing or left or center.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I think we mostly agree here. I think Connor McMichael ends up as your third line center by the end of the year. I think he gets about halfway through and then ends it with it. I'm a little mixed on Lars. I think this is also kind of a stealth Lars Eller prediction too. I am of two minds with Lars Eller, as I think I said on Twitter this morning. You know, I see a guy that, you know, at age 33 had his worst season, which terrifies me. But also, you could kind of paint a picture of, oh, maybe it was COVID, maybe it was that kind of thing. But I ultimately think Connor McMichael is a good fit on the third line, and that's where I see him ending up. That's my big prediction there. All right, so I'm going to do one over-under, Luke, and this one's a simple one. Over under, Nicholas Backstrom plays one game in the regular season.
I'm going to go with under. I think they're going to, I think they're going to, even if he's going to be ready, I think they're going to try their best to not have him come back, because if he comes back, they're going to have to pay a high price to move some people. And I think they're going to be like, hey, buddy, can you, chill for a little bit?
Yeah. All right. I'm going to ask you a more depressing sub question. Under Nicholas Backstrom plays 25 more games in his career for the Washington Capitals.
I'm going to say over, but not much. I think someone pointed out the stat of three people that have had his surgery and two never played again. And one did. And they played like 36 games or something.
Yes.
I think he'll play slightly over. I think he'll come back and then be like, all right, this isn't going to work. That is my guess. But.
Yeah, this sucks. I hate this because I mean, the part that kills me is I was like all aboard, ready to start making the Nicholas Backstrom Hall of Fame case, but you kind of feel like, all right, like if this is it, he's probably going to be a little bit short, you know?
Yeah. This hurts.
I know, it stings. All right, so the final question, Luke, is do the Capitals, during the regular season, extend any of their pending UFAs? And this I'm going to include, for this sake, someone who technically isn't a UFA, but I'm going to include Peter Laviolette in that question.
I think they definitely extend players. I think I mentioned earlier, I wouldn't be surprised to see Hathaway. I think they love Hathaway, and he had a fantastic season last year. He is 30, but I can see them signing him for maybe to end Ovi's era, go 3 years or something like that. And sure. I also imagine they get at least one of Orlov and Jensen.
I actually was going to predict. I actually think they extend both of them. I think that's going to.
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
I'm a little more optimistic because I think you see the cap going up, and you could start to see maybe some room for these. You know, particularly if. The buzz starts getting around the Backstrom might really not be back, you know. I think the silver, not that there's silver lining because it sucks, but the one part you would say at least that could be good is that not good, but at least that could be a small silver lining is that I actually think that gives the Caps a lot of room to maybe extend some of these UFAs. So we'll see. And then, all right, Luke, we're going to ask the question that I think everyone really wants us to answer, which is where do you think the Washington Capitals will finish in the Metro Division this year?
So I'm going to give a little bit of a long-winded answer. And I think you pointed out earlier, they scored 100 points last season. And that was with roller coaster goaltending. That was with Backstrom, Oshie, Mantha being out for basically half the season. Their power play was abysmal. They were in an extremely tough Metro, and it blows my mind that I was like, how did they get to 100 points last year? And technically they got, it was a wild, quote unquote, wild card spot, but it's just because it was stacked. But I think they'll finish. I think they're good enough to finish second in the Metro, but I'll be nice and say some weird stuff happened. I'll say they finished third in the Metro.
All right. Yeah. Well, I like having you on. We tend to just on Twitter. I feel like we tend to just agree with each other. And I'm going to agree with you here. I actually have, I think I talked about this last podcast. I have the Washington Capitals finishing second in the Metro Division behind Carolina. I am I'm going to give my grand unifying theory of the Washington Capitals postseason, which or their of their offseason, which is I think a 100-point team got rid of their bad players and replaced them with good players.
Yeah, 100%.
That is my grand unifying theory of the Washington Capitals offseason. I think they got better basically everywhere. I see McMichael and Protas taking steps up. I see them, you know, having enough depth, you know, particularly after Wilson comes back to maybe rest some of their veterans a little bit, you know, maybe we start seeing Ovechkin play some 18, 19 minute nights instead of 23, you know, and I'm actually very optimistic. And I actually, what makes me a little reassured is I'm not going to spoil a bunch of paywall content, but it seems like Tariq Al-Bashir was also a little more optimistic on them too. So I'm optimistic. I don't think that they're at risk of missing the playoffs this year, but you never know. I mean, they also have a landmine laden roster.
Yeah. That's, I think the only way they miss is if both Ovi and Kemper get really long-term injuries. I think then they could get a little bit shaky, but like I said, the three things I pointed out, the power play should be better because Strom is on it, because we were missing the power play. Got better last year once Backstrom got back, which makes sense.
Yes.
But now you have someone there the whole time. You have goaltending situated, and then you have, what was the third thing I said? I don't know what I said, but they have the
2C figured out too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, they didn't have a 2C all last season, like I said, because Backstrom was either hurt or Zeller. So, like you said, they literally improved on all their bad things. So I can only see them getting better.
Agreed. All right. So we're going to briefly talk about the Metro because our Capitals section lasted longer than I thought, but I think it's good. I mean, this is a Washington Capitals podcast. So I think you have the Caps. Well, we'll, I guess, kind of lead to the prediction part of this. I guess the one thing I would be curious to ask you about is it seems like the three teams that you would have with the Caps in this division would be Carolina, Pittsburgh, and the New York Rangers, right? So I guess, I don't know. Like, I mean, Luke, let me ask you about this way. Do you want to talk about Carolina or do you want to talk about Pittsburgh?
I don't want to talk about either of those freaking teams. But I guess we'll start with Carolina because, like, I agree with you. They're going to probably be the first because
I think so.
They're just really good. And then I love how teams just gift them players. Like, they gave him Pacioretty and they gave him Burns and they gave up like a 6-round pick between the two of them. Like,
being good at managing the salary cap really helps, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure, 100%. And they killed it that way. And so now they just Pacioretty. I know he's older, but he still can rip the puck. Well, I guess he did get hurt in the offseason. I think he's going to miss, but a good chunk. But Burns is, you know, and he's not good defensively, but they have plenty of good defensive players and. Mm-hmm. He's still going to
got it. A lot of depth on that team too.
A lot of depth, and they're young. They're still kind of young, and they're super fast and possession. So screw them.
I will say, I think losing Niederreiter is going to hurt. Actually.
Yeah, because he's a great possession player.
Really good. Maybe less so with Trocheck, but I really actually think losing Nino Niederreiter kind of. I will say, as a Capitals partisan, a little relieved that they didn't, because I actually thought they could have.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then I guess the other. Okay. I want to ask you the Pittsburgh question this way, which is, it seems like everyone wants to make a parallel between the Pittsburgh Penguins and Washington Capitals, but I'm interested in them because I actually don't think that parallel is quite as strong as people say. I mean, yes, they have aging cores that are getting, you know, older and maybe can't quite carry the team as much. I get that comparison, but it seems like the Penguins made some maybe strange decisions this offseason, you know, and I'm kind of curious, what do you make of Pittsburgh? Like, I mean, how similar are they or not to the Washington Capitals at this point?
Yeah, I think, like you said, the similarity is the older core, but outside that, I don't think it's too much. They annoyingly have arguably the best coach in the league. And yeah, I think that's why they're always going to be a threat, is because Sullivan consistently just can make any team good. But yeah, outside age, I think Caps have some better depth, and I think they have a better prospect pool. So they're getting Caps are going to be able to inject some youth. The Penguins, not so much. They still have their older play, which is, you know, they're still good. But I think Caps being able to inject some youth is going to be really a plus. They grab Petrie, which is a gamble. He was fantastic.
Yeah, I'm just interested. The Petrie for Matheson swap was one that was kind of I don't know, like an interesting little thing, right? Because, you know, I mean, how much do you really count what Petrie did on probably one of the worst teams in hockey? Right?
Yeah, he was really bad last year, but every year leading up to that, he was extremely good. So it's – and he's 34, so he's not going to get any better, but he could still maybe be what he was. So it's a – like, Matheson is more – I see the Penguins make this trade a lot where they go with – someone more uncertain, they give up someone more certain for something more uncertain. And so that could work. Hopefully it doesn't, but it's certainly good. And they have a pretty strong top four defense. So
yes, they definitely do. Although I will also say, I think losing Marino is going to really hurt them.
Like, yeah.
In a way that I don't think is discussed, because they really lean on him, I think, in a lot of ways, you know, and I know maybe he's been a little up and down, but I really actually think that loss is going to hurt them.
No, 100. That was a trade I definitely wouldn't have made. That was another trade that was, they gave up something more certain, Marino, for Ty Smith, who has a higher ceiling, but I think they just sent him down, so he's going to be in their AHL. So who knows, but
yeah, it
example.
Seems like that was kind of a cap trade, right? A salary cap laden trade, right? But at the same time, I think if you're in New Jersey, where he ended up in New Jersey, right? Please tell me I'm right about that. I think if you're Jersey, you take that trade like, you know, and 10 times at any day.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess this is all kind of leading us to saying, Luke, who are, you know, your playoff teams out of the Metro Division?
The playoff teams on the Metro, I think it's going to go Carolina, then it's going to be some type of weird thing between the Caps, Pittsburgh, and the Rangers. I think they're going to grab those next three spots. New Jersey's really interesting. They have a really good defense, but their goalies are unknown. They have Vitek and Blackwood. So I think they have the potential to do some big stuff, but it's still too a little bit. They're young and such, but I think it's going to go, Carolina, those three teams, then New Jersey, and then who's left? The Islanders.
What do you make of the Islanders? It seems to a degree that I'm actually surprised. It seems like a lot of people have been willing to kind of write off last year for them. I don't actually know if I am. I mean, yes, I know they started 14 games on the road, and I know obviously that's weird, and, you know, they had some injuries, and everything seemed to go poorly. But I mean, I am high on Barry Trotz as a coach, and they got rid of him. And, you know, I'm not as high. It's Lane Lambert's the coach there, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes.
And I'm not as high on Lane Lambert, needless to say. I look at a team that is old, that's beat up, that is going to have a really hard time scoring. And yeah, I love Pulak and Pelech. Like, that's a great pairing. You know, I think Barzal is good. I don't see a playoff team.
Yeah, for sure. They have a fantastic goalie, Sorokin and Varlamov. That's really good pairing. Their defense, like you said, Pulak, Pelech, then no Dobson. That kid is really good. I think they got Romanov from Mayfield. So their defense and goalie.
Dobson's good, although I get the sense they struggle with how to really use him.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. But when it comes to the forwards, they are not. I mean, they have Barzal. Yeah. And after that, just a bunch of older guys. I don't think they have any game changers outside Barzal. So I think you can get by on your defense and goalie. Like, you can play really good defense, but they're in a stacked division. If they were playing, like, you know, the Atlantic or something, not the Atlantic, but the Pacific or something, maybe they can get by, but I don't think they'll be able to survive a Metro playoff position.
Agreed. All right. So I think so you would say it's probably the four teams the same four teams as last year, right?
Yeah, basically, I think so. Okay. With New Jersey shaking some stuff up.
Okay. Yeah, I think I look at Jersey and I say, all right, like, did they really get 20 points better in the offseason? I say probably not, but I mean, entirely possible that they did, you know, so we'll see.
Sure.
All right. So with that, we're going to take a quick break. And on the other side, all right, well, we're already at 41 minutes, so, you know, over break, we're going to do some predictions. I promise they're going to be a little rapid fire, you know, because we're going to talk about the rest of the NHL, but we're going to keep it brief. So with that promising way to go, take us into break, stay tuned. Welcome back to Jay Pearson Radio. I'm still here with Luke. And Luke, let's dive right into the rest of the NHL. We talked about eight teams, some of which rather briefly, but let's kind of dive in here to the rest. And I promise to our listeners that we will go quickly. All right. So the Atlantic Division. For me, the storyline here seems like there are four really, really good teams in that division. I think they all got a little bit worse. I think that maybe you want to say Florida, got worse. I think, they lost, I think one of their best defensemen in Weegar and lost Huberdeau, who had 100 plus points. Kachuk, perfect fit there, but I think they got worse. I think Tampa Bay is older and they lost a lot of their best forwards. So, they are lost some of their depth. So I think they got a little bit worse. I think Toronto also is worse because they right now have a goaltending tandem of Matt Murray and Ilya Samsonov, and that is bad. So I think they got worse. And the other team in that is Boston, and they are now a year older with a really old core. And so I think they also got worse. That said, I still, I think, have them as the top four teams in the division. Do you?
What was the four? Oh, yeah, Florida. That's who it was. No, yeah, I agree. I think those are the big four. Boston is a little shaky because I think they're starting the league without Bergeron and Marchand for 4 months or something. So they could potentially hit a little. They're on the ball. But like you said, they all got – where Toronto's probably the best of them, but – I like taking swings on people, but those are two big swings on Murray and Samsonov. And I love Samsonov, but if they swing and miss on both of those, they could be in trouble, So,
also say this, Samsonov has a lot of talent. I'm really not sure about that fit in Toronto, man.
Especially as a Russian.
I'm really not sure about that. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. You're more of a Samsonov whisperer than me, but does not seem like a good market for him to go to.
Not at all, because that's probably the highest pressure market in the league. Yep. So I always thought his biggest weakness was the mental side of the game. And so if you can't handle that, it's going to not go very well.
Yes. We'll see about that. But I mean, the thing is, the rest of that roster is really, really good. And, they still have good young players that are going to be there for a while. And so, I think there's even if Matt Murray is their like goalie for a while, I still think that that's probably a 100 plus point team.
So
see, it sounds like you have Toronto and the number one spot in that division. So fill out the 2 through 4.
I'll go Toronto. I think I would still take Tampa over Florida for now. Like you said, Uyghur's a huge loss. That's they replaced Huberdeau with Kachuk, which is fine, but that's a big loss, especially if Ekblad, who I think has been injured twice, if he goes down, that could be a pretty big oomph. And I don't know if they're gonna still stick with Bobrovsky, who's So Tampa has still has Vasilevskiy and who's the big ass defenseman there?
Hedman.
Yeah. So I think they're really safe on the back and they still have most of their guys up front. So I would take Tampa over Florida, then Boston. But I think you said the four teams got worse, but the bottom four all got better. Ottawa. Mm-hmm. I mean, they added some great players. Detroit is going to be better. Buffalo. Yeah, I was looking at their lineup. I was like, this isn't a bad lineup. It's not a playoff lineup, but they're going to be better than they usually are. And Montreal's probably the worst of them all, but that division is going to be wild because it's separated. But
I will say this. So I agree with everything you said. That I think the four teams got a little bit worse, and the four bottom teams got a little bit better. In some cases, a lot better. That said, Buffalo was your fifth place team in that division, and they had 75 points. That they were 32 points behind the Boston Bruins. And I look at that and do I say any of those teams got 20 points better? Probably not. I mean, the Senators' blue line still sucks. the Red Wings, they kind of had a little, I mean, like, they're going to be better, and it looks like they really hit on some of their draft picks, you know, Moritz Seider obviously being among them. I like them. Do I think they got 20 points better? No, right? So yeah, sure. I still look at that, and I just say there was such a gap between the top four and bottom four that I could see some improvement. And every year there's always one team that surprises you. And the Bruins seem like a good contender. Maybe they're not a wild card team. Maybe you want to say the Islanders or Blue Jackets get it over them. Fine. Yeah. Maybe the Devils. Fine. But I just don't see that kind of gap being made up. So that's kind of where I'm at with that.
No, that makes I 100% agree with that.
Absolutely. And I have Panthers, Maple Leafs, Lightning, and Bruins, which is the same order as last year. I still think the Panthers are really good. But we'll see. I'm curious about that. All right. So that's the Atlantic. I think we did that in like 4 minutes. So I'm going to call that a victory. The Central. I guess the question about the Central is by how many points? Well, let me just ask it this way. How many points will the Colorado Avalanche win the division by this year? And I will say they only won it by 6 points last year, which actually kind of surprised me.
Yeah, surprising. Who was second last year?
The Wild, who had 113 points.
Oh, wow. Really? The Wild got
They had more points than people thought.
Holy moly. I think they got worse in the offseason, Colorado. I mean, they're still top tier, but I think they got worse. They lost Kadri. They lost some other big name, I thought.
I mean, the Capitals goaltender.
Oh, the goalie. Yeah, there you go.
They lost Darcy Kemper. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I do not trust their goaltending, actually.
Yeah, Gorgiev has never really shown anything. I mean, could maybe, but yeah. I think they got worse, but they're still going to be top tier, but they got worse. Minnesota are going to regret so many things because they could be in that, they could have been that perfect spot like Tampa where they could go on a run for a long time because they are amazing at drafting and they have some amazing kids coming up, but I think they're over the next 2 years, they have 12 and 14 million in dead space because of their buyouts.
Yep.
And if they didn't have that, they could just load up their roster and they could go on an absolute tear, but they did that. So I think that's like, that sucks because they have the perfect thing to come in, make the most of your kids on their cheap contracts, but they can't because they're done.
Yeah. I squint at that top six too, because I just pulled it up for the Minnesota Wild. And I mean, obviously Kaprizov is a dynamo. I don't really see a ton of like elite scoring on that, on that second and third line in particular. So, I mean, we'll see. I like the Wild. I still think the Avalanche win. I actually think they win it by more this year. I have them, I think, as like, you know, 10 points up on either the Wild or the Blues.
Okay.
It's either one of which I could see with the second or third spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then, do we agree on the top three here of Avalanche, Wild, and Blues?
Avalanche, Wild, Blues. Yes, I would agree with that.
Okay. All right. And then the next two teams in order in that division were the Stars and the Predators. You know, I don't really believe in the Predators, but I believe in UC Soros, so I could easily see them being a playoff team. Although I actually think that I would say, I think, let me think about this. I actually don't think either one. I actually think the Central only has three teams coming out of this. Do you see either the Stars, Predators, or Jets making the, assuming, of course, the Coyotes and Blackhawks don't make the playoffs, which they won't. Do you see any of the Stars, Preds, or Jets making the playoffs this year?
Stars, Preds, Jets. So it's tough because the Preds, they've had the same issue they've had forever. They have no first-line center.
No, they do not.
If they had one, they would be, because I mean, look at their team now. They have Saras, which is amazing, and then they have Roman Josi, Ryan McDonough, and Ekholm, and then Dante Fabro. That's a really strong four. And then you have Forsberg. But yeah, you're actually, now that I'm looking at this, it's not that great.
Their forward depth sucks.
Yeah,
they're gonna have
Forsberg's their only like sweetness. But then Duchesne, and then they have a next tier, which is Duchesne, Johansson, Granlund, Niederreiter. They're all fine. But there's nothing like really popping off, so their offense is gonna be meh. I thought for some reason their offense was better than that, but it's not.
Their offense sucks. But they got by with Soros last year.
Yeah, and I think McDonough.
I don't ever want to bet on that.
For sure, and I think McDonough was a good ad, so I think they're defense is strong. But I don't like their coaches. I don't think their coaches are that great. So
yeah, I'm not certainly a nice guy either. Yeah.
Yeah, it depends how many spots are open in the wild card, I guess. But I could see them slipping in.
I could. But let's switch over to the Pacific Division, which I actually think will have five. I think they're going to have the five teams this year, because this will be my one spicy prediction. So in the Pacific, your three playoff teams last year were the Flames, Oilers, and Kings, with the Golden Knights and Canucks finishing in fourth and fifth, and not
the
being
Kings?
Playoff teams.
Got it. That's right.
Oh yeah, because all their young players started playing well. And you know, they had a couple of turn back the clock seasons from Quick and Kopitar.
Oh, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, there you go. So this is why we do this, because now we're going to learn about the rest of the NHL. This is a Washington Capitals specific, but you know, we're friendly with the rest of the league in the sense of, you know, we at least need to pretend like we know what happened with them. So, all right. Do you have the Flames and Oilers? Let's break it this way. Do you have the Flames and Oilers in?
In or as a top two?
In the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have the Kings going back in?
They added Fiala. And that's
He's good.
Really good add.
They got a bunch of young players.
Yeah, I doubt that Quick has another good season though. But they do have Cal Peterson.
Yeah, that's true.
Who they enjoy. Yeah. But I'll look at their defense real quick. I think they'll be in.
Okay.
If they got in last year, I think they'll be in. I don't think anybody else really improved, but I don't know. It sounds like you know better than me.
No. I think I'm with you. They have a bunch of good young players, and they're only going to get better. The two teams I have in, though, are also the Golden Knights and Canucks. I look at the Canucks saying they have a lot of good forwards, and they have Bruce Boudreau as their coach. And they were safely a playoff team with the just Bruce Boudreau part of their season. I think he is that good of a coach. I really like it. I actually think that they're going to be better than a lot of people think. And actually, I mean, you look at them, they were a 92-point team last year. They don't need that much to go right to be a playoff team. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I think they hit it. You know, I think they're going to – I actually think they might even challenge the Flames and Oilers, and that we have clear top three. And then the Golden Knights, I mean, we all know their thing. They have no goaltending anymore because everyone's hurt with Leonard being out for the year. But I love their forwards, and they have just a lot of high-end talent still there. I still think they're a playoff team. I just think that we look at last year and just say everyone was hurt and Mark Stone never was healthy. And so we kind of, you know, assuming Stone's healthy, which it seems like he is, I think they're pretty clearly a playoff team too.
I like it. I'm looking over at Vancouver's now, and I was like, they do. I mean, it really comes down to Elias Pettersson, how he bounces back.
Yes.
If he can bounce back, I think they are.
Boudreau is a perfect coach for him, isn't he?
100%.
Absolutely. I miss Bruce. I'm so glad he's
back. I know. I miss Bruce.
Yeah. This is a Bruce Boudreau appreciation podcast. He was robbed. I think the playoff narrative, whatever, I'm going to earn the E rating. I think the playoff narrative around him is bullshit. I think it's stupid, and I think he's a great coach, and I'm really glad he's back in the league. And I think the Canucks are a playoff team this year. I don't think they're going to go much further, but I do think they're a playoff team.
Nice.
All right. I'm optimistic. All right. Okay. We're going to buzz through these because we're at, like, almost an hour. All right. Give me one surprisingly good and surprisingly bad team.
Surprisingly good, surprisingly bad. I think
– I spoiled it already, but for me.
Yeah.
But
my
surprisingly good is going to be the Canucks.
Okay.
Toss one out. They don't have to necessarily even be a playoff team, but maybe give me like a team that even like might be competitive or something.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I think New Jersey is going to be a surprise. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if they'll beat anybody out, but I think they'll beat on some other. I think it's going to be like last year. I think the Metro's going to have a lot of high point. Like basically, there's going to be teams of the West that make it in that had like 15 points less than the Metro. Person that didn't make it. And I think New Jersey is going to be like that. I can also see Detroit being a little bit more oomphy, putting a little bit more scare into people.
Yeah, agreed. Do you have any team bottoming out?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. San Jose, I don't. I love that San Jose was always the really Caps of the West. Yeah, they were always like the Caps of the West, so I always loved them. But I think they're at this weird crossroad where they should be blowing up. But they are trying to, they're doing the the classic mistake of trying to stay alive too much. And it's like, yeah, you should just blow up. And there's a lot of good drafts coming up. Just take it and just, you know, suck for 3 years and get a lot of good players and just do a nice little rebuild. So I think they're going to be trying to hold on, and it just is not going to go well for them.
Agreed, agreed. And my team bottoming out is I'm not going to say bottom out. I actually think the Rangers are going to be a closer to the bubble playoff team. I still think they're a playoff team. I think they're going to be a little closer to the bubble than people think. I know I kind of said, oh, it's going to be like, you know, Canes and Caps and Penguins and Rangers. I think the Rangers are actually going to be the fourth one of that four. So that's kind of my little stealth prediction. All right. Yeah. Luke, who wins the President's Trophy?
President's Trophy. South Carolina.
Yeah. Punks. That's a pretty safe pick. Yeah. I'm actually going to – so last year was the Panthers. I actually think they repeat. I actually like the Panthers. I know they got a little bit worse, but Matthew Tkachuk is just such a perfect fit on that roster. I think they're gonna be fine. I think the goaltending will work itself out. I actually think the Panthers are your President's Trophy winners again. Then the opposite. Who is the worst team in the NHL? And I guess this is gonna be a battle of, I guess, three or four, or well, four actually. I think each division has a contender for having one of the worst teams in hockey.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it seems like a battle between the Canadiens, the Flyers, the Blackhawks, and the Coyotes.
Yep, that's a really good.
Maybe the Kraken, if you want to say too, although I actually think they're going to be not as bad.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Who do you have as the worst team in hockey?
I think it's going to end up being the Canadiens.
Okay.
I think Flyers are going to give them a run for their money because they have so many injured people that.
Oh, they're such a train wreck.
I forgot they had Trotz too as their guy. So he could, you know, piss them off to the point. And if Hart doesn't ever bounce back, it could get real ugly, which I don't mind.
Yeah, except I don't want that's going to be a fun team for us as Caps fans. I mean, you know, because like, yeah. I think for a while, people, you know, me included, were like, oh, you know, maybe this is the year of the Philadelphia Flyers. And then everything went poorly. It seems like all at once. They're bad. I think they're going to be a lot worse. And the fact that Sean Couturier, no one seems to know how hurt he is, that's bad. I think they're going to be really bad. That said, I kind of have a feel that, you know, if we're, you know, between these four teams to the bottom, I think there's only one team that is depraved enough to really, really trade away anything of value. And I think that's the Arizona Coyotes. I just I look at that team and I'm like, all right, like, I think at some point they're going to get a Chikrin deal done. You know, I think he's going to be gone.
And you're,
you know, and then I also think Clayton Keller is like someone they might move to. Then so you're just like, all right, like they literally, I mean, they had like, what, didn't they have Travis Boyd on their first line last year or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, they're
a team that desperately needs to get up. Like the next pick is going to be Connor Bernard. He's like the next Austin Matthews. Because I always wonder, I'm like, how are they consistently just not good? And I don't think they've ever had a top three pick in their franchise. And it's like, that's the issue, is they need to like bottom out for a couple
years. And I mean, the thing is, they had the third and they got Dylan Strome, who is a useful player for the Washington Capitals, you would definitely not say a franchise altering player.
No way. So it's like they really need to bottom out. And I hope they do, because I do not want the Flyers to get Bedard. That'd be very annoying. No. So I hope Arizona super sucks and they win the lottery.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, and I mean, the Blackhawks obviously are also completely tearing it apart, you know, which is probably given the organizational kind of order that has been the Chicago Blackhawks, probably for the best, I think it's safe.
Yeah.
All right. I am going to propose that I am going to give you the award winner and just say who it is. You know, we're going to skip analysis because we're already almost an hour. So who wins the Hart Trophy?
The Hart Trophy. I'm just going to go easy and just say, I think it's going to end up being McDavid. I think he's going to tear. They got better offensively. Their defense still sucks, but there's better weapons around them now. So I think he's just going to tear it up again. It's going to be one of those 130-point seasons, and you can't really not give it to someone like that, I guess.
No, that's very valid. I think I am going to go with actually like Nathan MacKinnon. I think that, you know, nice. I you know, it seems silly to bet against either Austin Matthews or Connor McDavid, but I actually, you know, sometimes like you end up with you know, his contract being an issue or whatever, and now that's settled, and I think that I actually really like Nathan MacKinnon, obviously, and I think he's going to be really good. I think he's your Hart Trophy winner. All right, real quick, who wins the Vezina?
It's probably going to be Shesterkin, sadly. I can see him.
Yeah.
I think he's only going to get better. I think he's going to be the best goalie for the next – he's going to replace Vasilevsky as, like, the next guy, unfortunately. But I think it'll be him.
I'll go a little surprising and off the board here. I'm actually going to put Markstrom here. I'm not a huge – I'm not necessarily the biggest believer, but I love the Flames defense, and I love Sutter as a coach. And, you know, I one of my stealth things to say is I actually think the Vezina is more of a team award than people like to give it credit for. And I really, really like the Flames, like, defensive system.
Yeah, they're deep. I mean,
I like Markstrom.
It was already really good, and they added Uyghur, so –
yeah, agreed.
They're gonna be nasty.
And then we'll conclude here by asking for your Norris prediction.
Norris, that's a toughie. Who won last year? Fox or McCarr did?
McCarr. It was McCarr.
I mean, I he's only going to be getting better too.
Yep.
So. You know, yeah, I'm gonna go. I feel bad. I'm just going with these easy answers, but I can't see him not killing it again. McAvoy, maybe. Mm-hmm. If I go outside, I'll go McAvoy. But
that's a good one. I like Charlie McAvoy. I think you could paint a story that if the Bruins are better than people think, and I still have them, as I said earlier, as comfortably a playoff team, then I actually think McAvoy is a pretty good pick there. I like that one. Do you want to go for it, or do you want to just pick McCarr?
I already did McDavid, so I'm gonna go
McAvoy.
I don't want to go.
Go for it.
Yeah, I'm going to go McAvoy. So don't go something easy.
All right. I'm going to go Cale Makar.
Yeah, there you go.
You're right. He's the best defenseman in hockey, and he's like 21 or something? Like, yeah.
Just, yeah.
Yeah. I was baiting you to pick that because I know it was new. I was just like, yeah, I'm just going to. Sorry, I'm an asshole. It's fine.
No, that's okay. I'll allow it.
I guess as the podcast gets later, my tolerance for cursing is censoring myself. You know, this is Luke, this is an anti-cancel culture podcast. So
oh, okay, sweet.
People are going to like it.
Ugh. Heck yeah.
Yeah. This is hardcore. No, this is stupid. All right. Okay. Luke, we're over an hour in and I'm making cancel culture joke. We need to stop ourselves right now.
Yeah.
All right. So, Luke, anything else you want to talk about the NHL, or have we exhausted your NHL takes at this point?
I think we covered everything. I don't know what else we could talk about.
I think we did too. I think we talked about every team, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know if I mentioned the Seattle Kraken. They're going to be really bad. That's about it.
Yeah.
That's about my take. Yeah, they suck. all right. Okay. Luke, let's wrap this sucker up. So where can people find you and your various musings and writing?
You can follow me on Twitter. I think it's just my name. It's at Luke Adamanis. So LukeAdamanis. And I think that's where I put all my crazy thoughts.
There you go. There you go. And you can follow me at @GregY_JR. And you can find the show at Jabers Rink Radio and wherever podcasts are found. And if you liked it, please rate, subscribe, review. We are, I think, you know, there's other Capitals podcasts out there. I'd like to think that, you know, this one, you know, absent me making dumb cancel culture jokes, is probably hopefully one of the best ones. And I said last podcast, I'm aiming to get back to where I started and make this a weekly podcast again. So if you like this, please rate, share, subscribe, review. I have some actually like pretty big guests lined up this year. I'm really excited about it. And yeah, so do all of those things and find the show. And next week, I believe the plan is going to be to have Alex Irving on on from Japers Rink Radio, for Japers Rink, of course. And so we're going to do that. And then I have some other Caps writers that, and actually some different people that I've reached out to this year as well. So we got some really fun stuff coming up for everyone. So with that, yeah, stay tuned and look forward to another season of Washington Capitals Hockey.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Skip the waiting room. TireRack.com now offers convenient mobile tire installation in select areas. Simply shop TireRack.com for your next set of tires, and at checkout, choose Tire Rack Mobile Tire Installation. An expertly trained technician will arrive with your tires and install them on site, at home, at the office, wherever you are. You'll spend less time waiting and more time doing the things you enjoy. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Save big money on everything for your next project. Now at Menards. Spring is here, meaning time for outdoor projects. Cabot Australian Timber Oil is perfect for decks, siding, and outdoor furniture while providing maximum penetration, durability, and water repellency. Save big money on Cabot exterior stains to get your staining project started today. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.